Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya, folks. Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. Okay, so you're at the entrance to the... What? You want to go over to these caves? But I have... yeah, sure. Okay, fine. We'll talk about that after this. All right. Yes, the players zig when you want them to zag. And it happens all the time. How good are your improv skills? Oh, boy. Because remember, the only thing you have to do is get through the session. Okay? They want... Can't talk today. They told you last time that they wanted to go into... to the wilderness, to this lake, this magical lake, to hunt something. And they, okay, remember last time you get started the session, last time you were going to do this, there's a hole over here that looks kind of like a dungeon entrance or a cave. Can we go look at that? And you didn't plan it. It's okay. It's cool. You improv. And if it happens right at the beginning of the session, oh well. And remember, my philosophy is to prepare to improv. Always. Prep to improv. Prep your adventure and prep to improv. Which means you have a few things about your world that you know, that you remember to write down some way, and you can riff off of there. Okay. DM Lair. Luke, a DM Lair video, bring up a good point. You know, usually they have to travel from point A to point B, do random encounters in there, do random encounters in the town, do random encounters everywhere, you know? And if you're good, and I know you're a good GM, you can tie it back to the adventure, even in a small way. For instance, The characters are getting ready to storm a cultist's lair, which is in these ruins here where they're hiding. And the cultist has the, you can tell what the cultists are because they usually have a little insignia necklace that they wear. And so, you know, they won't, you'll do it that way. So, okay, fine. You have the insignia necklace. And you've got this cultist, this evil cultist, that you're going to who you're going to stop, this evil cult. And you got this you roll up a random encounter. Oh, okay. Thugs are going to attack you. They're in the back alley of a city. Oh, thugs are going to attack them. Okay, fine, because they were getting ready for the trip, and all of a sudden, boom, we want your money. And they pull out a knife and all that kind of good stuff. So, battle, 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 encounter, encounter, encounter. Assuming the characters win, you got to assume that right off. I assume that right off the bat. And if they don't, oh well, TPK. Or maybe if they split up, maybe at least a couple of people are going to be rolling up new characters. Okay, kill, kill, kill. And the bodies are laying in front of them. The two or three or four bodies or whatever. What's the first thing characters usually say? I search the bodies. All right, fine. I'll roll up some loot. I'll give them some loot. I might give it off the top of my head. I got loot. I got treasure charts. I can, you know, okay, you guys find, this one has 30 gold on him plus a scroll of invisibility. And you notice something else. You can add this in. All of these guys have that little cultist necklace on them. And then I would roll, and one guy has a letter. What's the letter? We'll open it up and look at it. Do you speak magic or something like that? No. Well, you can't make out heads or tails of it. And the wizard goes, well, I can. And he takes the letter. By that time, see, I like to make players dither. And what I mean by dithering is, don't, if they're working out something, don't give it to them right away. Make them work for it a little, just a little. I'm not saying you have to make them roll for every single thing, but just make them work a little. And you know what that does? It gets them more involved in the game. They like to, I know they like to role play, so they can role play more, but the more important thing is it buys you time to think something up. And I say, he finds a letter. Can you read that? No, because it's written in a magical script or something like that. And the wizard's going, okay, fine. All right, roll your read magic. And, you know, ordinarily I would just give it to him, but I need a few more seconds to think of something. So roll your read magic. Oh, you didn't make it? Well, I would, you know, I'm for, you know, failing forward. So how bad did you blow it? You know, you were reading how bad you're, oh, by a couple points. Okay, fine. You can make out most of it, but there's a few words that you just don't understand. And by that time I'm going, the light bulb comes off, bing. And you said, this is from the head cultist to one of the subordinates saying, send these guys out and here's the information. And they are going to be there and there and there. And now, all of a sudden, that's tied to the Avenger. And the player characters are going, how do they know so much about, how are they finding out about this stuff? And you can elaborate on that. Okay? Say they're staying at an inn and they're getting ready for the next day to go find their cultist lair in this ruin. Okay, fine. And this encounter happens, and they find this letter. And you wonder, how the heck are they figuring out how are they watching us? Are they scrying us or what? You can figure that out once they get back to the hotel. You get back to the hotel, whatever, you know, finish whatever they're doing, shopping, whatever. And you guys want to get a good start in the morning. Okay, fine. Well, I would have an encounter happen at night. You know why? Because that would give them a clue. Say, okay, I'll roll a d12. What time is it? 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, fine. 3 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't have all the characters wake up, but one of them, I give an intelligence roll or some kind of roll that's like, you hear something and, you know, you can't sleep. You hear something. And you open your eyes and you see this little thing flitting around the room. And you don't know what the heck it is. If you have a light stone, you can shine on it, or I don't know if you'd have time to light up a torch or anything, or a lantern would be better. Say they have a black light lantern, you know, the one with the doors you can close so it's dark, and you open that up. Oh my gosh, it's some kind of little demon spawn. It's a homunculus or something like that that's looking at him. Looking at you, and me being a funny guy, instead of them, you know, instead of the creature, you know, telepathically sending this back to the base, I would do stuff like, oh, the creature, you notice it's real small, it's got wings, and it also wearing a pair of glasses and a piece of parchment and a quill, writing stuff down, looking around and writing stuff down, and all of a sudden, there's an encounter. Okay, fine. You're going to go, okay, catch him, because he flew through the window because you guys like to sleep. They like to sleep with the window open. Or you can figure out some other way. You can teleport him in or whatever. But, okay, boom, instant encounter, and it's tied to the adventure. That's the beauty part. It's tied to the adventure. So this is the kind of improv you got to think about when you're at the table. Because remember, you can prep and prep and prep. You can prep till the cows come home, and they can do one decision. Boom, it's all gone. Well, it's never all gone, but I mean, I hang on to stuff, but, you know, I can use it some other way. But the point is, it's twofold. One, all the prep you did is now out the window, which is okay, but you don't have anything to back it up. That's where improv comes in. That's your backup right there. Do not be afraid of that. And if you have to take breaks, take breaks. I mean, if you're playing, say, a 3 to 5 hour game at a con, I would take breaks. And then I would reassess. I would sit there and it's like, okay, they did this, they did this, they're going this way, and what are they going to run into? Maybe roll on a few tables that I have in the rule book or some other book, some supplement, or I may just, you know, decide, okay, this is forest. Okay, what's in the forest? Owlbears. Owlbears are in the forest. What else are in the forest? Wood elves? Yeah, they're in the forest. What else? Some other creatures. And just go like that. Okay, fine. I can get them into trouble. No problem. And I will try and link it back to the adventure. They've run into an owlbear in the forest. Okay, fine. They kill the owlbear and they notice it's got a brand with the cultist logo on it or something like that. You know, you take it from there. Anyway, that's my fun at the table. I hope that helps you, but I got to go start my day. So if you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com or drop a voicemail on Anchor. Anchor? No, Spotify for podcasters, dang it. I'm monetized, so as little as 99 cents a month, you too can help support this program. I would thank you. For single donations, go to my Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/oldmangrognard, or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. Let me thank these people. They give to me monthly. Benjamin Brodell, Gilbert Soares, and Jason from Moral Project, thank you very much. For other good podcasts, Dan Griggs, the Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognard Podcast, Kevin at the Red Caps Podcast, Daniel Norton has his Bandits Keep Podcast, my buddies Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest Podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, and my friend Eric Kinkar's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.